Dermot and Dave.
Conversation, crack,
and the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
You know the original Top Gun movie, of course, with like Maverick and Goose and everybody, but Jane has made a discovery.
So, Top Gun. Watched it 600 million times, like everybody else in the world. Fantastic movie. Loved it. Loved Goose. Only discovered yesterday that Goose is played by Anthony Edwards. How did I never know that? Nuts.
But now you do. So Anthony Edwards, people will probably mostly know from Eeyore. He was Dr. Green for 3 seasons. But Dr. Green and Eeyore, that's Goose and Top Gun.
I did not make that connection.
There you
I
go.
Have to say. But look, we're bringing you the biggest stars of the film this morning. Still to come before 10, we've got John Hamm, who you'll know as Don Draper from Mad Men. He's also in this film. Going to be catching up with him. Oscar winner Jennifer Connelly. But first, a chap called Miles Teller. Now, in the film, he plays Rooster, which you'll notice is part of the bird family as well, because he is, in the movie, the son of Goose.
That's right.
And we all know what happened to Goose. He was essentially goosed. but Miles Teller, you'll know, I mean, he made a big name for himself in films like Whiplash, where he played that kind of tortured jazz drummer.
Great movie.
Incredible film if you haven't seen it. Anyway, Miles Teller plays Bradley Rooster Bradshaw. And he's ready to talk to us. Hello, Miles.
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. I wonder, can we claim you as one of our own? Have you got any Irish genetic goodness in you?
Yes. On my mom's side, the maiden name is Dean. It's from Galway. And on my ancestry, I'm about 50% Irish and Scottish.
Wow. We'll definitely take you so.
Yeah.
I love Ireland. I took my grandparents for their 50th wedding anniversary. When I was in college, I studied Celtic music with Mick Maloney. He's the tenor banjo player in the world. I absolutely adore Ireland.
Wow. Do you play instruments yourself?
I do. I play piano. I play saxophone, or I did play saxophone, drums and guitar.
Well, drums we'll certainly know from Whiplash, obviously. Yeah. What a movie that was.
Man, that was incredible.
Thank you.
But also, you're playing the piano in Top Gun Maverick.
I know. When I read it in the script, I think I was pretty excited about it. And I told him that it's something that I wanted to do myself, that they weren't going to need a double or anything. And I've always felt like Great Balls of Fire is a pretty good party trick. If you can get on the piano and play that.
Definitely. Well, actually, talk about your character for a minute, because Dermot and I, we went to see the movie together in an empty cinema. It was just incredible. But but that bit, like, there's bits where they we don't give too much away, but like we cut back to the original movie, and there are so many shots of what is now become your character, and you kind of think, like, this is such an incredible universe that we're only in the second movie, but it's such an incredible universe.
I know. I think it's Tom used an analogy for this, and he said, we're trying to hit a bullet with a bullet. That's really how precise we need to be able to make a sequel to Top Gun and to have it satisfy fans of the original, but also you can't wink too much at the audience, because then I think that's kind of low-hanging fruit. The movie needs to be able to stand on its own, but to be able to kind of dive back into a story 30 years later and it just feels... It feels right. They really did such a great job with it. We all benefited from being a part of it.
I presume, you know, when the original movie came out all those years ago, we would have memories of it, and it kind of encapsulates the 80s and the sort of the brashness and the boldness and the kind of, you know, screw you, yeehaw type approach of the 1980s. What's it like for you, you know, obviously of a different generation, but no particularly, you know, clear memories yourself of that time for obvious reasons. But what's it like to sort of be part of that world, even though it existed before your time?
Well, when we did the beach football scene, I made sure I was wearing jean shorts. That was kind of a bit of my homage to the 80s. And I mean, you know what Top Gun is, even though I was born after the first one came out. You still know what the vibe is of it. And so I think we're able to bring that in a lot of ways. But there's certain things, like now the cast is a lot more, I think, reflective of the world around us. And it's, you know, those are things that you certainly hope develop over time. And
your mustache And that gets you buy-in into anything 80s, because your moustache in this film is incredible. And it's not easy to grow a moustache. I've tried, and I either look like a taxi driver or some kind of union representative. But you nailed it.
Yeah, I think depending on who you ask, they either think I nailed it or it's the creepiest thing they've ever seen. So you're trying to hit a bullet with a bullet when it comes to the,
your mustache,
the mustache.
Well, can we talk briefly, because we spoke to Jay and to Greg and to Danny earlier on about the being pilots and about like the crash course you guys had to go on to become, you know, these Top Gun pilots. What was that like for you? I mean, I was joking with the guy saying, like, I got an Xbox for Christmas with Microsoft Flight Simulator. I mean, I love this stuff. But I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to go from I'm not a pilot to now I'm in an F-18.
It was really intense. I mean, we did make kind of incremental steps within our training. We started out very basic, and we started out flying in a Cessna. It's the same steps you would take if you ever wanted to get your pilot's license. Mm. You really start kind of with the initial kind of understanding of the aircraft and all those kind of principles. But for this one, we're not going around sightseeing, right? Like, it's Top Gun, and we're flying with the best pilots in the world. And they are gripping and ripping every time we went up with them. So it was, I mean, it was a lot to be thrust into, and it's a depreciating skill. Like, I have, I learned how to withstand G forces for a year, and it's all gone now.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
We look forward to the time when you develop your flying skills and get more licenses and become like a John Travolta, where you just go down to the supermarket in an Airbus.
Well, I mean, that's Glenn, he's not here right now, but he got his pilot's license after we finished filming.
Yeah,
and it really only took him a couple weeks, because we have enough hours in the aircraft where we can. You know, you got to take some solo flights and pass the test. The test is kind of the big part, but nah, I have a 75 Bronco. That's what I take to the supermarket.
Okay. Good idea.
Miles, thank you so much for joining us. We can't wait for everybody to go see Top Gun Maverick. Thanks a million.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Dave, I can't believe you brought in the flight simulator again.
I promise it's the last time. I promise. And Glenn, that he was referring to there at the end, who got his pilot's license, is Glenn Powell, who plays a character in it called Hangman, who might just be the best looking man you've ever seen. And like, he's golden. He's just glistening and golden.
They have some weird filter that they use to give it that extra 80s sheen, but they all look like they're wearing fake tan all the time. And we don't mind. It just seems to work. That was Miles Teller. He plays Bradley Rooster Bradshaw, the son of Goose, who we all know from the original Top Gun. And still to come, in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Oscar winner Jennifer Connelly and Don Draper himself, Mr. John Hamm.
We're celebrating the movie Top Gun Maverick by talking to the stars of the movie.
You'll know our next guest from brilliant films like Blood Diamond and A Beautiful Mind. In fact, she won an Oscar and a Golden Globe for her role in A Beautiful Mind. Her name is Jennifer Connelly. She's on the line. Hello, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're super. While we were waiting there, I was looking at your Instagram of all the amazing pictures of the premieres. And it just looked like the Top Gun Maverick premiere was the best. It's like proper, solid, glitzy Hollywood stuff.
It was kind of exceptional and extraordinary. It's sort of like everything to do with the making of this movie, to be honest with you. The world premiere was in San Diego on an aircraft carrier that Tom Cruise landed on in a helicopter. I've never seen anything like that before. It was pretty fun.
It's a hell of an entrance. I think I arrived at my deb's that way. Same thing.
When Tom Cruise approaches you to be in this movie, I presume you think, oh, great, like, I'm not going to be in an F-18. Obviously, my character's not going to do that. But it's Tom Cruise, so you know there's going to be things he's going to ask you to do that you've never done before. So what were those things for this movie?
Well, actually, I was lulled into a false sense of security, to be honest with you, because my character, she owns a bar. I'm not a pilot. There were no flying scenes whatsoever. And I was on set with Tom when he started talking about P-51s and had I ever been in one and had I ever done any aerobatic flying before. And I started to get a little suspicious that I might be about to do some aerobatic flying. He's like, it's going to be very gentle, some very beautiful rolls. You're going to love it. I wound up doing some flying, which I hadn't realized was about to happen.
Wow.
Yeah, because there's shots of the two of you in the plane in the movie, and it looks astounding, and it obviously looks like the real deal, like you guys are there.
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Because we are. I mean, look, it's nothing compared to what the actors who are playing pilots went through, rigorous training to do what they did. I'm just a passenger in the plane there, but it was definitely like I had never been on a plane like that before. You know,
yeah.
You feel a very different sense of exposure in this little like glass cockpit, and the top of it is at the top of my head, and the plane's really narrow, and Tom was the pilot, and you know, we were skimming the tops of canyons, and there was a plane right off our wing that was filming us, and we were doing these maneuvers sort of swooping underneath it and stuff like that. It was definitely unlike any flying I've done.
But you did though have that scene where you had to sail a boat in what looked like the stormiest waters that isn't in like a storm movie.
Yeah, in a lovely jumper. All I can think of, maybe it's the parent in me now that I have children, I'm thinking, she must be freezing. Why didn't she have a proper coat on?
Yeah, no windbreaker, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
She's a very confident sailor. She wears cotton. Nothing waterproof, you know.
No.
Yeah, we filmed in San Francisco, and where they have famously strong winds, and you know, because the idea was to show that she's a great sailor and, you know, is at the helm of a vessel that's moving very fast through the water and big choppy waters. And I think it was great for the scene. It was definitely exhilarating shooting it.
Did we hear that you prepared for that in quite a strange way, that you knew you were going to be doing that sailing thing? So you had to practice at home?
Yes. I mean, I live in New York, and I was taking sailing lessons in New York Harbor, which is a very interesting place to learn to sail.
No, I heard that you were standing on your kitchen table.
That too. Yes. Well, I was, because you know how it is when you, I don't know, I feel like when you learn line, like when if I memorize something, it's one thing if you're like sitting in a chair and you have something memorized. But then if you are, I just knew when I got out there and you're in a, you know, those kinds of extreme environments where you're, you know, on a boat at this kind of angle and the waves are crashing on you and there's the wind and everything, you know, sometimes that stuff just goes out of your mind. So I was practicing. I was standing on a coffee table in my house and I was running my lines, and I had my kids like spraying, they had a glass of water and they were like in my face and like blowing on me with like wafting papers, like blowing wind on me.
I'm sure it's the same as the San Francisco winds. I mean, they're practically the same.
Yeah. You know, you've ruined your ability to shout at the kids, hey, get off the coffee table, because now you've actively encouraged it.
Well, what else are they for?
Yeah. Look, this movie, you've won Oscars for things like A Beautiful Mind. This movie, Dermot and I went to see this together alone in IMAX. It was just so incredible. But it is such a high five, fist bump movie. It's the perfect summer blockbuster.
I think you guys should go back and see it with an audience, because I saw it alone in a theater too, and it was amazing. And then I saw it with an audience, which was extraordinary. It was so much fun because everyone was like yelling at the screen, and you know, it was really a lot of fun. I think it's really satisfying.
It's more than satisfying. It's absolutely epic. I think people are we're so excited for people to see the film. I'm sure you are too, when it gets general release here on May 25th. Thanks so much for talking to us, Jennifer. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. You too. Have a great
day. Bye.
That is Oscar winner and Golden Globe winner Jennifer Connelly, star of Top Gun Maverick. Next, we can talk to a man you'll know probably best as Don Draper from Mad Men. He is, of course, Mr. John Hamm. He plays Cyclone in this film, and he's on the line. How are you, John?
I'm very well, thank you. Hello, Ireland.
Just before we went live with yourself there, Dave was asking me, I don't know if you actually heard him saying, have I got burrito on my face? So we just said, we'll let John Hamm tell you if you have or not.
Can you see my chipotle sauce? No.
Oh, you don't. You're burrito free for this entire interview.
Fantastic. Congratulations on Top Gun Maverick. What a movie. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you. Thanks very much. I tend to think so as well.
Are you allowed to say it's better than the original? Because we feel it is.
I'll say it. Sure. I don't know. I'm in it. So that automatically makes it better.
Not only are you in it, but you've got your call sign, Cyclone. Come on. Yeah. Did you choose that, or was that given to you?
I wish I could say I chose it. No, it was given to me, and I took it with both hands very gladly because it's awfully cool.
Oh, it is. You've got it all, the uniform, even if you just see the name Vice Admiral Cyclone on a script, you're like, I don't care what this film is, I have to play him.
Yes.
And what is it like, I suppose, going into that situation where it's not a franchise because it's only the second movie, but it's such a beloved movie, the first one, and you go in and you've got this, I suppose in some ways, the kind of the villain role, because there's a faceless villain on the other side of the mission, but you know, you're Tom Cruise's wings, man, you're clipping his wings.
Yeah, I prefer the term antagonist, but antagonist, sure. Right. There, you know, someone has to tell Maverick that he can't do what he wants to do, and I'm happily taking that role. It's a pleasure to be opposite Tom in a scene. He is a consummate movie star. They don't make him like that anymore. And it's he loves his job, you know, and this movie obviously means a lot to him, but he also just has a tremendous enthusiasm for the process of making movies in general. And that that energy is an exciting energy to be around.
I love the variety of stuff that you do in your acting, you know, from Don Draper right through all the Bridesmaids and every other film that you've done. I love how you love to mix it up. And did I hear that you would love a shot at Star Wars if ever that arrived?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I was a big fan of the original series of films. I know there's spin-offs and split-offs and Mandalorians and Obi-Wans. There's so many versions of it now. I think it's, why not me? Put me in one.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of the thrust of that Apple TV ad you did as well? I was like, what,
yes,
still no John
yes,
Hamm?
Very much so. That. Why not I me? Where's my everyone but John Hamm?
Well, didn't Daniel Craig manage to get himself dressed up as a stormtrooper? And he's in there somewhere in the mix in the latest.
That was my friend Edgar Wright. You know, it's. Yeah. I'm like, come on, really? Edgar's not even an actor.
Would you do it if they said, okay, we'll let, you know, you can do a part, but you have to dress up as some completely unrecognizable alien with a big bulb head or something?
Sure, I'd play Greedo's brother or, you know, somebody like that. Why not?
Let's talk about Ireland for a second. We know you have a graw, as we say in this country, a love for Ireland. We know you were over here shooting Wild Mountain Time, and you had the time of your life, I believe.
We did, and we shot that in County Mayo and Ballina and Cross Molina. We had a wonderful experience. It was you know, Ireland is as advertised. It was gorgeous and green and rainy and all of the things. So I loved my time over here. I spent about 5 weeks over here, and I very much had a wonderful time.
And did you experience the rural Irish pub? Because that's a very important part, particularly in the west of Ireland.
We sure did. We experienced it quite a few evenings and quite a few days as well. And quite a few evenings that bled into days. It's quite exciting.
That'll happen.
Very, very welcome. Yeah.
Did you ever experience the ancient Irish tradition of the lock-in, where the pub is?
I have experienced that as well. We, you know, the green carpet was rolled out quite nicely.
I'm always amazed by, I think, you know, we should get NASA or somebody to look at what Irish pub curtains are made out of, because you can have the rowdiest bar and then the barman goes, right, that's it, lad, shh, and closes the curtains. And suddenly all sound stops at getting out onto the main street. And there could be a full-blown wedding happening in there. You can't hear anything. As the guard walks by, he's like, nothing happening here.
Nothing happening, yes. Pay no attention to the proceedings behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Well, John Hamm, listen, congratulations on Top Gun Maverick. The role of Cyclone is epic. And we don't want to give anything away, but I just love the character journey that he goes on and everything that's with it and everything. So congratulations. We love it.
Thanks very much, gents. Nice talking with you.
Hi, guys. It's Dermot and Dave here from Today FM in Ireland. How are you?
Dermot, hey, what's up?
Nice to see you. Before we get into the Top Gun stuff, Greg, were you at the Miami Grand Prix?
Yes, I was at the Miami Grand Prix. What an experience.
Yeah, were you also there?
No, I was looking at it on TV Ireland, but it looked like one of those things that you would just love to be at. It even had mermaids.
We didn't see the mermaids, though.
I didn't see the mermaids.
I don't remember seeing a mermaid.
Yeah.
Are you sure you were watching the
channel? I think he was watching the Disney Channel. He was watching something else altogether.
How high are you when you watch?
As we went to it, we realized like you could only go out above the paddock and just watch a little bit of the race, and you got to head right back inside to watch the rest.
Okay.
So otherwise, you're gonna have
come here, boys. Like, I feel like I'm on the same level as you guys. Like, I'm practically an Air Force Top Gun pilot because for Christmas I got an Xbox and Microsoft Flight Simulator, and I've been training and training, and I'm up to a Cessna, guys. I'm just behind you.
Yes, which you crashed into the Tower of London.
I was waiting for you to say like, oh yeah, I joined. You said, is it PC or is it?
Xbox. But I will say the Irish Air Corps, which is our Air Force, did find out that I got this, and they invited me down, and I flew in their simulator. Now, you know, I think 15 minutes in the simulator, I'm pretty much the same as you guys, right?
How many times did you crash?
I actually didn't crash. I was really good, apparently.
Okay. We didn't either, so I guess we are alike.
But you guys had to actually fly F-18s, though. Like, this is so crazy that, like, you went on such a crash course of training, you flew the planes.
Yeah. Well, we were in the back of the F-18 while pilots were piloting. But, I mean, that's still intense because more people... Are you a fan of football? NFL football?
Sure, yeah.
American football. That's what I said, NFL. More people have Super Bowl rings than they have flown in the F-18. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, some elite...
Another way, yeah. People. Way more people have won Champions League...
Nice. You see, you know Danny played soccer. He's making a reference that we understand better here. I get it, Danny.
He's
translated
it for me. Yeah. He's been doing that all
different language, but
And Jay, how did you handle the G-forces? Because it's one of those things that, you know, mere mortals don't understand what it's like until you're in one of those things and you feel like your head is going to roll off your shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, your head always feels like it's going to roll off his shoulders when you're pulling them. But, man, I had this crazy experience. I had to pee every single flight. Like, literally mid-flight, I would have to ask the pilot to, like, level out and pull out a bag, and I would pee every single flight.
And what was that? Was that fear, or was it just that this is what those forces do to your body?
Good question. It's what the forces do to your body. I don't really believe in the F word. You know what I'm saying?
Well, did you pee? Did you have to pee? Did the forces never made me pee. I never pee.
Yeah.
That's interesting. No, but did it was just Jay.
I threw it because I was doing way more intense things in the backseat.
as a weapon system operator, I had to fly the exact same courses, but then while we're turning right, I had to look over my left shoulder. It's like, I mean, you've got a motion sickness being on the back of a car texting, right? Doing something else that you don't know, your body's like disoriented, so it's actually technically way tougher on the body.
Who says that?
Everybody says that.
Who is that?
This team was like, yo, you guys have it way worse. So whenever they take rides, they get nauseous and they're talking about it.
But technically, we were all taking rides, so we were all like, learning about
nauseous. But you simulator?
Also looking where you're going.
Do you get nauseous when you do the simulator?
I didn't know. The simulator was okay. It didn't move too much. It was like those huge screens. The whole room was a screen. So for me, actually piloting, I was okay. But the people in the room, they all felt sick because the screens move, but they're not controlling the joystick. So
you don't know where you're going visually. So
exactly. Yeah. And did you guys get to choose your own call signs? Because what we got? We got Coyote Payback. No, the fanboy.
When we got the script, they were all there. Joe gave us the opportunity to change our call signs if we wanted to. But I think everybody thought about it, but it ended up fitting. Yeah.
And really, I think they did a great job casting us for the roles specifically. So I think we all played into what our call sign was. Yeah.
Oh, you guys should have seen my first audition. It was a different fanboy.
What you want to reenact it?
Just, no. It was
not giving anything away.
No, I want to reenact it. But it was a completely different fanboy. Okay. I had also had longer hair, so by the time I did my callback, Joe's like, oh, cut your... And then,
Oh, wow.
Different dude. Wow.
How did you become then the fanboy that we know now? What made you just decide to flip it?
Well, it just kind of the progression of discovering the character, and also it's we're creating a unit and team, and I think at that point it's reading off of what is in the space. So it's, if everyone's like the big headed ego gunslinger, no one's an ego headed gunslinger. Mm. So it kind of like neutralizes. So I think bouncing off of that and just knowing where, just the fit is always different based on the cast. And I think this one specifically, everyone was so well cast for their parts
that it just organically kind of happened, mm-hmm. and characters kind of formed based on the squadron that we built in real life.
Yeah. Right, well, we better wrap it up, guys. Not because the interview's over. We're afraid that Jay needs to pee. So we're...
I got a diaper on. Don't worry about me.
Guys, congratulations on Top Gun Maverick. We love it. Can't wait for people to see it. Thanks for talking to us.
Dermot and Dave. Weekdays from 9 a.m. Today.